Have you ever found yourself in a season where you're moving, you're definitely busy, but you just feel like your internal compass is, well, a little off. Like you're walking, but maybe not quite towards peace or purpose or that deep sense of purity you might be looking for.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to that feeling. It's pretty common.
It really is. And today we're diving into an ancient text that honestly speaks right into that experience. It's Psalm 119, specifically verse 4.
Ah, great one.
It declares, "You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed." And that word fully, it packs way more punch than you might think at first
It
glance.
really does, fully.
So our mission in this deep dive is to really unpack what these, divine precepts actually are, why they matter today, not just back then.
Right, they're not just old rules.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how this whole idea of full obedience can, well, unlock spiritual cleansing, real personal transformation, and maybe surprisingly, even have a global impact.
That's the exciting part.
We've gathered some really interesting sources, including insights from the Faith Beams GP podcast series on Psalm 119, to kind of guide us through this.
Good stuff there.
Yeah, we're aiming to understand how these principles work, give you a bit of a shortcut to getting your head around it all.
Okay, so precepts. Let's dig into that word first.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with the Bible, especially Psalm 119, you see lots of words for God's instructions, right? Commands, statutes, laws.
Yeah.
But precepts, piqutim in the Hebrew, they seem to carry a particular weight. They feel like specific divine charges, like precise instructions from God.
Okay, specific
Yeah,
charges.
really designed to guide us in, righteous living. It's less like a general rule book, maybe more like a very precise moral compass, an intentional calibration meant to steer our behavior right towards godliness.
Ah, like it illuminates the path where we might otherwise just wander off.
Exactly. It's very intentional guidance.
That's a really helpful distinction. It really highlights the care behind God's guidance. And it makes me think of Psalm 19.8. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. So it's not just about duty then, is it? It sounds like guidance that actually brings delight.
That's it, precisely, joy. And what's so compelling, I think, is how these ancient, very specific directives, they still feel profoundly relevant.
Even today.
Especially today in our modern world, which is often so morally, gray, ambiguous.
For sure.
Yeah, when we're facing complex ethical choices or even just trying to figure out the right path forward spiritually, these precepts can kind of cut through all that noise. They offer this steady, joyful guide that, frankly, a lot of other voices just can't provide.
Okay, so that joy comes from embracing the next really crucial idea, fully obeyed.
The big one.
Because Psalm 119.4 doesn't say partially obeyed or, obeyed when it's easy. It's fully, that nuance, it changes everything, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It really challenges our sort of natural tendency to want to compromise or maybe just do enough to get by.
Yeah, the bare minimum.
Right. And look, this isn't just about what we do on the outside. It goes deeper. It's about an internal posture, you
I
know?
guess so.
Well, if you connect it to the bigger story in the Bible, think about King Saul
Yeah.
for Samuel 15.
Right. Yeah.
He did obey God's command,
Right.
partly. He destroyed most of the Amalekites, but he kept the king alive, kept the best
So you
animals.
cut
He
corner.
cut corners, and God treated that partial obedience as straight up disobedience. It showed something deeper was off, a lack of real trust and faithfulness. It wasn't just a mistake, it was like a heart deviation. And the consequences were huge. He lost his kingdom over it. It teaches us that being half-hearted can be just as bad as outright rebellion. It shows a divided heart.
That's a really powerful point, and often overlooked, I think. And it's not just some ancient story, right? Our sources actually shared a really compelling modern example
Oh, yeah.
from a woman in Kenya. She was really honest about how her business struggled, even failed for a while because she was cutting corners, just like Saul in a way,
Yeah.
partial obedience, trying to save money.
Been there.
But then, when she really committed to running her business with total integrity, making every decision line up with God's precepts, that's when things started to turn around. Restoration began.
Wow.
It's just a stark reminder, isn't it? Half measures often mean we miss out on God's full blessing, his full purpose.
Which, brings up a really important question for us now. Why is full obedience just so incredibly hard in our culture today?
Yeah, what makes it so tough?
Well, think about it. We're swimming in constant social media influence. Right? There's this pervasive moral relativism that kind of blurs clear lines between right and wrong.
Everything's gray.
Everything feels gray. And the peer pressure, whether it's subtle or overt, to just conform, to compromise, it's immense. There's this psychological resistance, maybe even a spiritual resistance to absolute truth. It makes it really hard to find that inner strength to stand firm when everyone around you is saying, ah, just bend a little.
That's so true. But here's the amazing thing. Despite all those challenges, our sources show something pretty extraordinary happening.
What's that?
This commitment to full obedience, it's actually having ripple effects all over the globe. It's transforming lives, transforming communities in ways you might not expect.
Okay, like where? Give me an example.
All right, Brazil. We learned about this teacher in Sao Paulo. She's working in a public school, mostly secular environment, right?
Tough setting.
Very. But she started subtly weaving God's precepts into how she managed her classroom, how you talked to the kids, handled conflicts.
Was quietly living it out.
Exactly. And the result, her classroom became this consistent little island of peace and respect, even in the middle of a huge, chaotic city. It's that quiet, consistent faithfulness making a real difference.
That's fantastic. Small actions, big impact.
Totally. And then there's this really powerful story from Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
Our sources talk about a young guy, I mean, deep into crime. His life just completely flipped after doing a Bible study in his jail cell. And guess what they were studying?
Let me guess. Psalm 119.
You got it. Psalm 119. Today he's out and he's actively mentoring other young guys in his community, trying to steer them away from the path he was on. He's living the precepts that saved him.
Wow. From jail cell to mentor. That's redemption.
Isn't it? And how about Nigeria? A Christian couple runs an agriculture business. They faced this huge ethical test.
Oh boy. What happened?
They lost a massive contract because they flat out refused to pay a bribe, stuck completely to biblical principles of honesty, justice.
Ouch. That must have hurt financially.
Big time. It was a major hit. But here's the thing. Because they didn't compromise their reputation for integrity, for honesty, that became their calling card. They ended up getting 5 new contracts, all through referrals based purely on their character.
So their obedience actually became their biggest asset.
Exactly. Their quiet stance spoke volumes.
Incredible.
And one more. This one's deeply moving. Pakistan. A small Christian fellowship. They have to meet secretly, meditate on Psalm 119 together.
Under persecution.
Under intense persecution. Facing real threats, real danger. And they find the strength, the courage to stay obedient, to stay faithful, drawing it directly from these precepts.
There's holding on to the word when everything else is hostile.
It's a powerful testament, isn't it? How these ancient words give such deep internal strength when the world around you is just shaking.
You know, these stories, they really show how personal obedience, when it's rooted in God's precepts, it's not just about you changing.
Right.
It's that quiet, consistent faithfulness in one person, then another, that collectively starts to reshape the whole moral fabric of communities, maybe even nations.
One decision at a time.
Yeah, one precept-led decision at a time. It's not always about these huge, flashy projects. It's a teacher, it's an ex-criminal, it's a business couple, a hidden fellowship, just living out the truth. And that creates this profound organic change.
Okay, so if precepts are like our divine GPS guiding our actions, what about this idea of spiritual cleansing? Our deep dive connects Psalm 119.4 to a verse in John's gospel, John 15.3.
Mm-hmm. Jesus speaking.
Right. He says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." There's a really strong metaphor there.
Oh, it's incredibly practical. Think about God's word not just as like information you download.
Okay.
Think of it as active soap and water for your soul, for your mind, your heart.
Soap and water. I like that.
Yeah. It's continually cleansing our thoughts, purifying our motives, refining why we do what we do. It's like the word is scrubbing away the mental grime, the emotional residue that just builds up every day.
So it helps us see more clearly ourselves, God.
Exactly. It challenges the lies we accidentally internalize. You know?
Yeah.
It reshapes our desires over time, corrects the false stories we tell ourselves, and it replaces all that junk with truth. That leads to this purity of intention that then informs how we act.
That really changes how you think about reading the Bible. It's not just learning, it's washing.
It is. It's an act of cleansing.
So, okay, for you listening right now, maybe just take a second.
Mm-hmm.
Reflect. What specific thoughts or maybe motives in your own life, what might need that kind of spiritual wash right now? What mental clutter has kind of piled up?
A good question to sit with. And we heard this really moving devotional stories from Jamaica.
Yeah.
Single mom. She had gone through a really dark season, deep depression, lots of grief. And she found profound peace, real healing, just by consistently reading Psalm 119 every day in her devotions.
Just reading it.
Just reading it, letting it soak in. The word truly became her comfort, her cleansing agent. It restored her spirit.
That's beautiful and really practical. So maybe as a spiritual practice, something you could try, consider journaling. Mm. Write down the precepts you know you struggle with, the ones that feel hard, just naming them, acknowledging the struggle. It can be like opening the door for God's healing, his help in that specific area.
Yeah, it's like saying, okay, God, I need your soap and water right here.
Exactly. Letting it do its work.
Okay, so given all this, the power of precepts, the need for full obedience, the cleansing aspect. How do we actually do this? How do we embrace God's precepts day to day?
Right. Let's get practical. Our sources gave some pretty clear, actionable steps.
Good. What's first?
First, you got to study the word. And this is more than just, you know, a quick glance.
Right. Deeper dive.
Yeah. Regular, intentional time in the scriptures, especially places like Psalms, Proverbs, the Gospels, where these principles are really laid out clearly. It's about letting the word really saturate your thinking.
Okay. Study. Makes sense. What's next?
Second, prayer and surrender. This is crucial. We have to actively ask God for the strength to obey, especially when a precept feels really hard or totally goes against the culture.
Because we can't do it on our own steam.
Not usually, no. It's admitting that. It's an act of humility, saying, I need your help, God, relying on his power, not just our willpower.
Okay. Study, prayer, and surrender. Third.
Third, accountability. This is huge. Connecting with a community, your church, a small group, even just a trusted spiritual friend or mentor.
Yeah. People who get it.
Exactly. People who can support you, maybe challenge you gently, guide you when you're trying to live this stuff out. You're really not meant to do it in isolation.
That's so true. We need each other. Okay, number four.
And fourth, apply it. Every day. You know, James 1.22 says, do not merely listen to the word. Do what it says.
Hearers and doers.
Right. It's not just about knowing it. It's about doing it. Making it a consistent daily practice to put these principles into action. In your choices, your conversations, your work, your home, that's where the real transformation happens. In the doing.
Study, pray, connect, apply. Okay.
So as you're reflecting on that, maybe think, what's just one precept? One principle from God's word that you could make a conscious effort to apply today. Just one.
Good challenge. Just start with one.
Yeah. Now, we know, we understand that for many people listening, life can feel incredibly heavy right now.
Yeah.
Really wearying. Maybe you're grieving recent world events, you know, the loss of a public figure people admired, or maybe dealing with the aftermath of natural disasters, fires, floods, stuff like that. Suffering is just, it's real. And it hits us all very personally.
It does. And it's easy in those moments to feel kind of forgotten, doesn't it? Or just completely overwhelmed by it all.
Absolutely. But here's a really comforting truth that came through in our deep dive. God's precepts, they actually bring comfort, even in the deepest sorrow.
How so?
Well, think about Psalm 34.18. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
He draws near in the pain.
Exactly. And the devotional thought tied to this is really powerful. When you're grieving, the invitation isn't to just sink into despair. It's actually to lean into God's guidance. His precepts aren't just for when things are going well, for ethical checklists. Mm. They are profoundly there for our healing, for our restoration, too.
So they're like anchors in the storm.
That's a great way to put it. We heard this incredibly poignant story of a mother in Chile. She lost her child in a terrible disaster. Unimaginable grief.
Oh, heartbreaking.
And in the middle of that darkness, she clung to Psalm 119. Day by day, sometimes moment by moment, and through that daily spiritual cleansing, just immersing herself in his word, she found this profound peace, a restoration that didn't make sense apart from God.
Wow. Just clinging to the word.
Yeah. And what's really amazing here is this global affirmation. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're facing, you're not forgotten. God's word truly has this unwavering power to restore, rebuild, and revive.
That's a message of hope everyone needs to hear. So maybe let's recap our journey today, this whole deep dive into just one verse, Psalm 119.4. It showed us pretty profoundly, I think, that God's precepts, they aren't just suggestions.
No, definitely not.
They're not outdated rules. They are divine charges. Yeah. Precise paths leading to healing, to wholeness, a true compass for navigating life with real clarity and purpose.
That's it. Exactly. And I think one of the biggest takeaways for me is that obeying God fully, it actually brings freedom, real freedom, not restriction.
Right. It liberates you from all that internal conflict, from the pressure to conform.
Yeah.
It's not limiting. It's freeing.
Yeah. And spiritual cleansing, like we talked about with the soap and water idea, it's not a one-shot deal, is it? Not some magic fix. It's this daily, consistent process, like washing off the dust from the road of life. We just need that constant refresh for our minds, our hearts.
Absolutely. And it feels like God is actively, you know, lovingly calling us back to his foundational truth. In a world where everything seems to be shifting sand, his precepts are like bedrock, unshakable.
Totally. And these precepts, they are the very framework for spiritual health, aren't they? They don't just tell us what to do. They give us the means to live with clarity, with integrity, with genuine purpose.
Well said. And it's so important to remember this too. God honors it.
Mm-hmm.
He honors those who walk according to his ways, even when nobody else is watching.
Mm-hmm. Even the small things.
Yeah, your integrity, that quiet obedience in the little choices, it matters profoundly to him.
And finally, those global stories we shared.
Yeah, Brazil, Trinidad, Nigeria, Pakistan.
They just powerfully show that God is truly at work everywhere, in every nation, using his word as that daily cleansing source, changing lives from the inside out.
It's really encouraging.
It is. So as we wrap up, here's maybe a final thought for you to chew on, a provocative one, perhaps.
Okay.
In a world that seems increasingly relativistic, where morals feel fluid, can an ancient text really offer an unwavering, joyful path for living today? And what does it truly mean for you personally to allow God's precepts to be a light in our nations, starting with your own full obedience?
How could your individual commitment, your choices based on these principles, actually ripple outwards, maybe globally, creating an impact you might never even fully see this side of eternity?
It's something to think about, isn't it? We really encourage you to continue your own deep dive. Maybe, just maybe, spend the next 7 days reading the beginning of Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Let those truths just settle in your spirit.
Or perhaps take some time to reflect, maybe journal, about one specific precept you know you're struggling to obey right now, and just invite God's cleansing, his guidance, right into that space.
Thank you so much for diving deep with us today.